Growing up in communist Bulgaria, poster artist Luba Lukova had few choices. But she says it was the lack of choice that helped hone her craft. Forced out of the capital city, she started designing posters for a theater company in a small town, learning how to minimize complex concepts into something clever yet accessible. After being invited to Colorado for a poster exhibition, she moved to New York in 1991 and promptly got a job with the New York Times, creating artwork for their book reviews and op-eds. Luba Lukova creates simple yet profound posters about all sorts of social justice issues. Her work is in the permanent collection at MoMA, and she has shown her posters in exhibits all across the country. Now, she has an exhibition, Designing Justice, at MoDA, the Museum of Design, Atlanta. I spoke with her in advance of its opening last week. I love the poster that describes income inequality. Mm. In it, there's a pie with one slice cut out, and that slice has multiple forks in it, while the rest of the pie has just one. Very clever. Taking that as an example, would you tell us something of the thought process of creating your designs?
Yes. The thought process is probably always trying first to understand exactly the issue that you want to address. But most of the time when these images come from me, I already know what I want to say, right? But I suppose you have to feel really empathy, to really feel for those who maybe are suffering and driving from your own experience too, but to really be passionate, I think. If you don't have the passion, then it never happens to me, you know, like you have to really care about it. And then I deal and visualize issues that many people are familiar with, right? So one other thing I always try to avoid is to not fall into some cliche imagery that will make it look boring, you know, because we all know about this or that issue, but how to present it in a fresh way to engage people and to make them really stop and give it a second look. So, and probably a third effort that I put, huge effort, is to do it in a simple, concise way so that it could have that iconic look that people can easily remember, and it will take seconds to understand, but it will stay in their head so they could think more about it, you know. So I would say the passion, the purely the intellectual effort to do something original and then to do it in a simple way. So even the most, if you like, the most uneducated person or the most remote person or someone who may not even be poor or whatever it is, could stop and think about it, say, well, that's not for me, but that makes sense for others, you know.
So simply illustrated doesn't mean simplistic.
No,
it's
no.
A matter of finding the right symbolism without the cliche.
True. And I don't like also kind of the word illustration, because I always kind of resemble something that you represent, you know, but I rather dig into the surface and find that inner relationship between things, between the cause and you know, result and really like a solving every time a puzzle, so to speak, and bringing out something that is not visible on the surface. Because when you say illustration, oftentimes we just see a representation of something and that's it, you know. But I always want to dig into that more metaphoric meaning of things.
Well, this brings us to a segue in terms of your exhibition here at the Museum of Design, Atlanta. How does this artwork categorize as design?
Well, I also think that nowadays it's a very kind of blurred distinction between what we call design or art, because things overlap. We were just talking this morning how when design started 150 years ago, it basically borrowed from fine art. But nowadays I see it clearly that fine art, so-called fine art, borrows from design. And how we categorize it as design, I think the fact that is meant for not an elitist audience of art collectors, but it's meant for everybody, and that's the nature of design being very democratic. The fact that it's basically a paper with something printed on it, the fact that it uses these iconic, stylized, symbolized symbols, you know, that's probably a characteristic of what graphic design is. But the majority of the work there is not commissioned by a client. It's just from me, you know, I publish and distribute and exhibit the images. But I do use the visual language of design. And I don't mind calling it design, even though it's exhibited in fine art galleries, but I like to call it design because the prices are accessible for the people, you know. And I think it fills out a void that the so-called contemporary visual art cannot provide, you know, given the enormous prices of visual art today. I don't think an average, even middle-class person could afford that in their home. But design is affordable. Design is for the people. So why not give them not just a colorful spot, but give them a message in that form? So I think the concept for this exhibit is fantastic. I don't mind being a design. You know, I don't think it puts down the work. You know, it provides the same aesthetic visual pleasure. It gives you a message. Plus, it's affordable. So what's better than that, you know?
There was one design, one drawing you did that stayed in my mind was in 2001, and it accompanied an essay by one of the New York Times music critics, Richard Taruskin, talking about censorship in music. You depicted a guitar fret. Was it guitar or was it cello? And there were nails coming through, spikes coming through.
Not a nail, it was a flute maybe. And then the nails were coming into it. Yeah, but it was a censorship in music, yeah.
So did you read his essay first, or did that image just come to mind when you were told we'd like you to come up with artwork reflecting an essay on censorship in music?
Yes, I think for this one, probably I've read the story because I think that was on the cover of the Sunday Arts and Leisure, and they have longer deadlines. But he was talking on how the Taliban regime censors music and how they beat the musicians with their instruments. So this I remember reading, and I clearly remember also the other sketches that I sent to the art director back then. And this was meant to be on the Sunday cover when they don't want to disturb people with some, you know, harsh images when people drink their morning coffee and stuff. So I remember the other sketch maybe was somebody playing a harp and the strings of the harp were barbed wire or something. But this image kind of stood out. And he was like, I'm not sure if this is gonna fly, this is too harsh. But then I did painting and he was like, no, that's it, just the way it is, that's gonna be. So
yeah, the story has musicians being beaten with their instruments, but you want an easy drawing to accompany.
But see, that kind of proves that an image is worth a thousand words. Sometimes the image works stronger than the words. So the impact sometimes, yeah, that proves why we need images, not only text, because the image makes a strong statement, yeah. And after these initial doubts, whoever was the editor back then said, that's it. So it ran without any change, you know. And it was huge at that time. Color, huge image on the cover, yeah.
Most recently, what issues have you addressed in your art?
Most recently, I was just part of an art festival, Long Island City Arts Open, where my studio is, which is one of the you know, largest area with art studios, and they have a great festival. So I showed some series, new series called The Innocence of Nature, where I was doing it's a set of three images on how industrial pollution affects the ecosystem. I'm also doing a series inspired by the blues, by the blues music, but kind of twisting it because I want to show that the themes of the blues music are so relevant today. And I love the music. So that's one other big project that I'm doing. It's going to be a set of 12 images that will come also as a book with text and stuff. So
this is your answer to Matisse's jazz series.
Perhaps, yes, true. Maybe, yes, true. I love that as well, yes. But these are very recent things that I'm doing, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.